You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You talk about investment in Detroit, and names like Gilbert or Illich come to mind. And certainly, they have led the way in reshaping the look of downtown Detroit. But we're going to look at investment in Detroit's neighborhoods. Andrew Cullum and David Alade moved to Detroit recently, and they launched an investment company called Century Partners. Their idea: invest in Detroit's neighborhoods and historic homes, and in doing so, close the wealth disparity gap by helping people invest in the rehabilitation of their neighborhoods. Andrew, David, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you so much, Cynthia. Yeah,
thank you.
Now, you both chose to give up jobs, pick up sticks, and come and move to Detroit. What were you each doing before you came here? What were you doing, Andrew?
I was living in Mississippi, and I had started a real estate company there. I started with five houses, and I built up that real estate portfolio to about 300 apartment units and 20 houses. So I felt like I was pretty strongly invested in Mississippi, and I felt good about that investment. I had a couple employees that worked for me. So I could kind of travel anywhere I wanted and sort of start fresh somewhere new, and Detroit was the place that I set my eyes on.
And we're going to talk about that in a moment. First, let's get the backstory, and David, tell us what you were doing and where you were.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from New York, born and raised, and I've never left, really, until moving to Detroit. I did investment banking for a number of years at two firms, Barclays and Credit Suisse, and primarily focused in the kind of asset finance world.
You, Andrew, decided Detroit was where you wanted to be, and why was that?
Believe it or not, it was because of a book I read. I'm one of those type of people that I actually do make decisions based off books, sometimes for good, sometimes for not. But so this one was a good one. I read a book called Arc of Justice, which tells the history of the Great Migration and Detroit and the automobile industry. But it focuses all that through the story of a doctor named Dr. Ossian Sweet, who was a doctor in the Black Bottoms who moved to Detroit from Florida. And he made the American dream come true for himself. And he wanted to buy a house in a nice neighborhood. And he found a house in a white neighborhood, and the neighborhood wasn't accepting of him, and there was a lot of violence. And there was a lot of violence in America around housing at the time.
And we're going back quite a few decades.
Yeah, we're 1910, 1920s.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that book really inspired me. It made me want to move to Detroit and make that book into a movie and get involved in housing revitalization. And it started making me research Detroit more and pay more attention to Detroit. And so I started thinking about, well, if I want to do a business, it's never fun to do a business by yourself. So I'm like, who's the smartest guy I know of my generation that I could really think would be a good partner for this type of venture? So I'm hanging out with David in New York, and I started trying to pitch him on Detroit, and he literally ridiculed me, Cynthia.
I was worried about it.
I mean, laughed. No, you're like, what?
I thought the Mississippi sun had got to him over some time. I mean, it was real traumatic, I imagine, being down there. But you know, I actually cover the big three auto companies, so Ford, GM, and Chrysler. So I was probably in Detroit or the Detroit metro area probably once a quarter for 6 years. And I think when I first started working, it was in 2009, and you had two of the big three auto companies were kind of in bankruptcy, emerging from, and another one, they were doing big capital raises to, prevent bankruptcy. So I did kind of come off because my professional career with a slightly negative conception of what was happening in Detroit. I knew it was a place that it was some sense of desperation, definitely financial liquidity issues. And when Andrew came to me and talked about investing in Detroit, all I really had heard was, struggling auto companies, dilapidated housing, really bad crime. But I think about 2 years ago, I started, really thinking about, where I wanted my life to lead and, the things that I really cared about, and thought about applying to B school. And during that process, they really force you to think about what matters. And to me, I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens, went to school in Upper East Side, went to Columbia. I saw firsthand just huge, disparities in education, and health.
And income. Yes.
And for me, I think the source or one of the sources for those disparities across those fields is wealth. And if you look at how wealth is created in the U.S., it's primarily via home ownership, either owner-occupied homes or investment properties. And I thought Detroit would be an amazing place to you already had a ton of houses. You had a really strong percentage of home ownership, actually, relative to any top 20 city. Be an amazing place to actually help address that wealth disparity and do so on a profitable basis, where the folks who stuck with Detroit through the worst of times can actually fiscally and economically benefit from the resurgence that's happening here.
So when did you both come plant your roots here and say, all right, it is now time to put out our shingle, if you will, as Century Partners and start working?
I would count it in June of 2014 when we made our first trip together here.
And the bankruptcy was...
Yeah, we were definitely following the bankruptcy, the news. And he convinced me to start looking at it again. So we took a trip out here. We walked all these neighborhoods, you know, Palmer Woods, Indian Village, Boston Eddies, Sherwood Forest. Fell in love with the city again. And the people. And they were as pleasant and friendly as people from the South, you know. So... A lot of them are from the South,
Let's do it. So I guess tell me what it is, David, that Century Partners does that's different and unique.
I think there are a couple things. I think particularly, again, I'm from New York, and so when development happens in New York, it happens, you know, in tandem with displacement. And that's because those communities are primarily renter communities. In Detroit, there's a unique opportunity because of the home percentage of home ownership, particularly in the neighborhoods that we're operating in. We have an ability to come into neighborhoods, do holistic, targeted investments, activate formerly vacant and blighted structures, and in so doing, you know, develop and bring resources to a neighborhood without displacing the folks that are currently there. So in that way, you know, I think in New York, a developer comes in, renters get displaced, and the developer captures all the upside. And here, the people who, again, stuck with Detroit, they're seeing their home values increase. And we've seen it just since we bought our first house in August 2014, home values increased dramatically. I think the second thing I think that makes us a bit unique is, you know, part of our philosophy is really to kind of democratize access, you know, to, you know, home ownership and real estate, not only in Detroit, but in other places as well. And we have an investment model and a fund that allows us to, I guess, two things, invite our friends and family, you know, participate in our Detroit investment. So they can invest in our fund and gain, you know, what we hope to be really strong returns. I think more interestingly is we have an avenue where current Detroiters, they can invest in our fund. You know, they, in exchange for some combination of, you know, cash and equity, they can give us a house, you know, maybe that was sitting next door to them that they bought for a couple hundred bucks from a tax foreclosure auction a couple years ago. And those folks will also benefit from the rise in appreciation we hope to deliver.
Which goes back to that goal to tackle the wealth disparity that exists.
Definitely.
Tell me what neighborhood you're focusing on. It's a big city, a lot of acreage, huge city. So I'm sure you had to be strategic and smart.
Strategic, absolutely. So we really wanted to focus on a transition neighborhood, a neighborhood that we thought could either be a tipping point in a negative way or a tipping point in a positive way. So we focused our first investment on Atkinson Street, which is one block south of Boston Edison. So Boston Edison is a really strong anchor neighborhood, a lot of beautiful homes, really the first suburb in Detroit, probably one of the first suburbs in America. The houses were fairly stable. There was a lot of home ownership, and there wasn't that many vacant homes. But Atkinson Street was a little bit more dilapidated. There were more vacant homes. And we thought, all right, we want to go leverage the positive benefits of Boston Edison, but we want to invest really strong. We want to put a really strong investment in this one street. So we started with one house on that one street. Then we quickly expanded to five other homes. We have 15 units on just Atkinson Street. So I would say we sort of have an Atkinson Street investment, which is really close to Boston Edison. And then we also have the North End, which is on the other side of Woodward, where we have some multifamilies that were invested. That is a similar investment thesis in the sense that they're all the units are very close to one another. So I think in Detroit, you really have to be strategic because it's a very block-to-block city. Certain blocks are very dilapidated, a lot of crime, and other blocks are very safe and very stable. And we really want to use the city's investment in certain neighborhoods, in the natural investment in certain neighborhoods, to expand that footprint so that where there's a strong neighborhood in the periphery, there's another neighborhood that's getting stronger as well.
How have you been received by the neighbors where you're developing and where you're working?
Before we renovated a single home, we actually knocked on our neighbors' doors. So we went up and down Atkinson. We had a little survey we had printed out. To really get to know our neighbors, you know, we learned a ton about them. I mean, we definitely thought there was a high degree of home ownership, but to actually see multiple people who had lived in the same home for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. and they welcomed us. Many of them welcomed us into their home.
I think it helped that I lived in the neighborhood. So when I first moved here, mm-hmm. I moved into our first house. And I was fixing it up a little bit by myself, and then David said, "This is going too slowly. We need to hire professionals. You're not a hipster." So I but it definitely helped that I moved here first, and I really got to know the neighbors, and there was a little bit of skepticism at first. I think the skepticism—
Developers, that connotation is not always a happy one for people.
Absolutely. Now, in the neighborhood, I think that the skepticism that I've seen in the neighborhoods around developers is really slumlords. Someone that's going to buy a house, because these are old historic homes, they're really expensive to fix up. So to get them properly fixed up, it's a costly expense. So I think there was some skepticism and some fear that we wouldn't really fix up the homes and that we would just throw a whole bunch of people in them, like throw 20 people into a huge home and not really fix it and like not really live in the neighborhood, not really see what type of damage that those people were doing to the neighborhood because we weren't there. It wasn't in our backyard. Once I think they saw us move in, they saw the quality of the renovations that we were putting in, and they saw the diligence and that we put in our screening process, because we really only want to rent to people who want to be in the Detroit neighborhoods, mm-hmm. who want to have a positive impact on Detroit's neighborhoods. So that, I think, gives us more credibility. And also, when people get to know you, they typically seem to, you know, people at this point, they know us in our areas. I mean, we're around. So
now, one of you tossed out kind of joking about the hipsters. But let me ask you this about your thoughts about the dynamics between the longtime black residents of neighborhoods and some of the new Detroiters were coming in, who are often young, often white. I mean, that term hipster is kicked around. But what have you seen, and how do you see that working together for Detroit's neighborhoods?
I mean, I see it working together very well. And I think what they really care about is making sure that, you know, their neighborhoods are treated with respect. And I think that's what was able to help lend, you know, really strong credibility over time with our neighbors, for Andrew and I. Because we took the time to really bring really strong, you know, tenants and residents to the area. In our experience, you know, our neighbors didn't care if they're white, black, purple, yellow, as long as they're respecting the property. You know, they're not, you know, throwing loud parties. We're doing all the lawn maintenance and snow removal, and they're saying hello to their neighbors, and they're being respectful, and they're cleaning up after their dogs. I mean, that's really what people care about.
And if they don't, they know who to contact. I mean, the thing is, the neighbors have our phone numbers. So when they're unhappy with something, they let us know.
What do you both see as the key to a Detroit with economically healthy, active neighborhoods? There's been so much attention on downtown and midtown and Corktown. You're focusing attention on the neighborhood. So what would that look like? I'll let you take that one first, Andrew.
Okay. That's a really interesting question. I think that, one, you're definitely going to need a lot more commercial development in the neighborhoods. I think that's really part of the key to our success in the future will be our ability to have strong, original commercial enterprises. I think that the neighborhoods that are making really good comebacks, they have that in place. So I think we have the beautiful homes, so we don't have to worry. The matter of, you know, making those beautiful homes renovated and habitable again, that's just a financing thing that can be resolved really through numbers. I mean, that can be resolved. But you got to have commercial there, and I think you have to have really smart, engaged developers that look and feel to some degree like the people in the community. Because I do think that there's certain credibility that we have because we look like the people in the community. We can talk like them. We like the same music. To some degree, we can talk about sports the same. There's just an element of ease of communication that I think is going to be important to bridge the transition so that the neighborhoods are both diverse and inclusive, but also dynamic. And I think a lot of long-term Detroiters, black or white, realize that for a city to be dynamic, it has to have new people. I mean, a dynamic city accepts new people well, and it lets people leave well. So I think that Detroit is in a position to really accept lots of new people very well, because naturally Detroiters are very friendly. But I think that you do have to respect Detroit. That's one thing I know. You have to come to Detroit with respect. And I think the fact that we read books about Detroit, we know about artists about Detroit, we know about the history of what they think about different politicians from different decades, we wonder and talk about it because we're not only interested in Detroit's real estate, we're interested in Detroit's history, and we're not just interested in Detroit's houses, we're interested in their people. So I think that lends us an easy ability to sort of navigate that transition, because we do need inclusive, diverse neighborhoods. You know, I think that is necessary, and a lot of Detroiters know that.
Where, David, do you see both of you in Century Partners, say in 10 years, in 20 years, where do you see your scope in the city?
That's a big question. That's a big question. We're taking it one day by day. but I'd say if I had to take a stab at that, my dream would be really to create more Century Partners. You know, I love, I think you mentioned earlier at the outset, you have the Dan Gilberts and the Illiches. You know, those are, when folks think about development, those are the faces that come to mind. And for me, I think what would mean a lot to me is to expand the scope for what a developer is. You know, I think also typically there's a negative connotation I found when it comes to development. You know, I think development really is, as a developer, that's a huge, a powerful role. To be able to kind of shape a community, shape, you know, potentially how folks interact and engage and kind of develop, you know, what makes a community attractive to people. That's a lot of power there. And I think if we can broaden the scope of folks who have, you know, ability to develop, you know, to be developers, we'll have better communities. We'll have strong communities. We'll have more diverse communities, because I think you'll have a broader range of experiences that are woven into the fabric of what a community is. So I would love, to help. Maybe this help Andrew and I can help create a wave or facilitate a wave of more diverse, you know, developers to do thoughtful development in places that need it the most.
David Olade, Andrew Colom of Century Partners. Interesting approach to development. We want to thank you so much for being with us to share it.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. We really appreciate your time.